Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. It's a show where we talk about musicals, funnily enough, and the lessons that they teach us. We all love musicals here at our virtual table today. It's another Zoom episode. How exciting for us. And we love to share that with you. So we have three hosts and a special guest. It's almost a full table. Producer Zane is also here pushing everybody's buttons. My name is Miranda. Hello.
Who else? Hello, Miranda Selwood.
Hello out there. Julie's here. Hey, Julie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling hyped to talk about this show today. I'm feeling tip-tap and top and tippity. Anyway, moving on. KB is here.
Hey, guys. Hi, Miranda.
How are you, KB?
Hey, tapping. I wonder why you said tapping when you said tip-tap-tapping show today.
A tip-tap-tapping-tippity-tippin' show.
Interesting.
Because we're going to talk to Aston. Hey, Aston.
Hello.
How are you?
I am so good. So good for a Sunday evening.
A Sunday evening? What are you talking about? This show comes out live to you on a Friday morning.
But what also a great start I've had.
No,
it comes
we don't
out like 1 a.m. on a Friday morning. None of us are awake at that time.
It comes out literally whenever you're listening to it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, let's go with that. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here and talking to us about this fabulous show. What have you brought us this week?
Oh, I've just wrapped it up in a nice little package for everybody. Ooh. To unfold the goodness of the tip-top tappity-tappening thoroughly modern Millie.
Woohoo! Yay. I'm so excited about this. I really love... I've always loved this movie, and then when it became a show, it became better, and that's all you can ask for, really. I mean, there are some things that become shows and they don't quite get better. They maybe go the other way, but this is not one of them. So true. I'm proud to be talking about Millie today. But before we talk about Millie, we have to get to know Aston. Are you ready to do the getting to know you quiz?
Oh, yes. I'm so ready.
So ready.
I got nervous for a second because I was like, getting to know me.
Yeah.
That's right. There's that bit.
Oh, yeah. Remember that bit where we don't talk about the show, but we talk about you?
It's all about me.
It is all about you. For the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, oh, this quiz is very long. Wow. We'll cut it down. It was fun. Okay. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
Oh, yes, that one. I think you need to help me with that one because I don't know if anyone's ever said, oh, you are so much like Jekyll and Hyde.
Definitely not on the list.
No.
Not on the list.
I wouldn't put you on a Jekyll and Hyde list. I think there's a bit of a Millie in you for sure. Mm. I mean, you've played the role, haven't you?
Sure have.
Sure have.
I'm racking my brain because it's been a while, but sure have. Yeah.
There must be more. Julie, any ideas?
Who would I compare you to? Maybe, oh, you could very well be a Miss Honey.
I was going to say Miss Honey.
Stop it. That was an answer to one of the questions that's coming up soon.
Oh my God. We don't tell them and then they won't know.
Mum's the word. Do you know, it's not really a character, but like I'm being told a number of times, I remind people of Toni Collette, which then takes me to Muriel's Wedding, like movie, which then takes me to stage in saying I don't feel like I would remind people of Muriel, the actual character, but I don't know.
In a roundabout,
Muriel in me somewhere?
I think you'd remind me more of Rhonda than of Muriel.
Yes. Mm. Okay, I'm good with that.
All right, so we're done? We're good?
Yeah.
We've settled on a Rhonda.
Tick.
Okay, good. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Mm.
Who do you aspire to be?
I think that I would like to be compared to, oh goodness, didn't think that one through.
It's a tough question.
It is a tough question.
It's a tricky one because all my other thoughts are, I don't want to take the answers for my other ideas. Who do I want people to think of me as?
A character with a really wonderful quality.
Do you want to be a Sally Bowl? Do you want to be...
Yeah,
I do.
Nailed it in one. Let's go Sally Bowls. Yes, all right. Please.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find you a German
I might
stripper.
Put that on my next question. Maybe I can swap. Maybe I want people to think of me as Miss Honey because she's just delightful in so many ways. I do feel like I can relate to her being a teacher myself and also maybe being a mum. Some of the qualities that I see that she possesses, I love so much about that. So that maybe answers that question a bit better. And then maybe when we move forward to like dream roles, now
shall
it's
we?
Sally.
Shall we? Okay, well, we've done it. What's your dream role? Nice. Sally Bowles.
Just like that.
Just like that. Dream role, Sally Bowles. All right, well, we're getting through it. What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Okay, I have to go back to The Woods. Good old Into the Woods, which, funnily enough, is the last live musical theatre that I did before the whole world shut down. Yeah. We literally closed on the Sunday, or maybe that was the Saturday, actually, and then by after that weekend, yeah.
We did too. I went home on the Monday.
Yeah.
So when did we finish? Sunday?
Yeah.
We finished Saturday. You bumped out on Sunday. I wasn't even there. And then we all got semi-locked down on that Monday, the next week.
It was the Monday, wasn't it? Because they let the weekend ride out.
Yeah. just to let everyone get in a little bit more COVID sharing.
Like, let's just see what happens. We'll give it a bar. Now we better.
We'll let you finish your events for the weekend. But back to the actual show itself and my question, it is going to be Into the Woods. I loved it before, but I fell in love with it, being able to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think a lot of Sondheim has that extra layer of appreciation once you've been in the show. That
absolutely.
And once you have that understanding,
you become brain fried from the lyric.
Yes.
And the slight change of lyric. And let's just do it 10 more times and add in one more different word.
And just learn that in a week before launch. Okay, thanks.
And Aston, you played Baker's wife in that show.
I did, yes.
So that is a very interesting role as far as lyrics that are ever changing. And really teaches you how to count, I think, that role. In of all the Sondheim roles,
that might be
the top one. So congratulations on making it through. Well, you're still alive.
Thank you. It's one of those moments when you feel like you get to the point of, you know, the production is ready to, you know, be displayed to the audience members, and you're like, yeah, I've got this, I'm just going to get up there. Like, it's when you feel like something should be in your body and you're just doing the show without thinking. I don't know if I could honestly say I ever did one single show where there wasn't a moment like, yeah, you have, you don't switch off, but it's like, no, you're actually more switched on because you are so alert and in tune and listening to that music and watching that musical director. And yeah, those internal beats are really, really pumping hard.
Yeah, what a wonderful show. Let's move on before it's just you and me talking about, you know, Sondheim forever. What is your go-to shower song? What's on the playlist?
I was thinking about this. Oh, like, to be honest, I know I've got to keep this PG, but like, I'm a mum and I have to like shower for my kids often. And so I'm like, I feel like I sing nursery rhymes and play schools right up there.
Oh, yeah.
With my songs.
In the Ning Nang Nong is a slap.
Oh, what was the song I missed that?
In the Ning Nang Nong.
Oh, my goodness. At least it's good for a bit of articulation. Mm-hmm. Some good warm up material there. Actually, one of my students said to me, and it was a Wiggles song that she said, Miss, could we please do this as our warm up? And it was something about Dinky Dong or in the Dinky Dicky Dong. I don't know. I shouldn't have said
it. Skidamarinky Dinky Doo.
Skidamarinky Doo. Love you. You're so terrific. Oh. But if I've got a bit of me time, like, how good are the acoustics? So I think you got to pull out your legitimate voice and do a bit of Christine, even though I could never do her on stage. A bit of,
just to clarify, you know, Christine Anu or Christine Aguilera or Christine from Phantom.
I was down Duet Line. I don't, what was I thinking of? Say you love me.
Yeah.
All I ask of you.
A little Phantom.
Speaking of
Andrew Lloyd Webber, you have to delete one musical from existence. So which one is it?
Well, speaking of such... I feel really mixed about this, but I couldn't think of anything else because I've done this and I actually had a great time doing it. Loved the role I played, just still don't get where everything all fits together in the wonderful world of Cats.
Well, I have
a classic deletion.
Some good and bad news for you, Aston. Cats has been deleted so many times that it is officially already dead. Therefore, you get to choose another show.
Oh my, we know what happens when you're putting me on the spot here. Okay, what am I going to delete?
She's just looking around the room.
Have a think through the Andrew Lloyd Webber catalog.
We can come back to it if you don't have strong feelings about anything in particular.
I really don't.
Wow.
I can't.
You really do love musicals. We will come back to it. I'm going to hold you to that. At the end, remind me. Aston still has a deletion to get done before the end of this episode.
I'm not Googling at all.
Musicals I hate on Google. So we're going to give this section a little rest. We're going to let Aston finish her Google search. And then we're going to talk about Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Woohoo! It's Thoroughly Modern Millie time and I'm so excited. I'm going to calm down now. Aston, why do you love Thoroughly Modern Millie so much?
Why do I love it?
Why do you love it?
To be honest, didn't know anything about it. Then I saw that there was auditions, so then I got involved and then I obviously was given the privilege to play Millie, and then you just fall in love with it because you can't not. It comes down to every aspect of that show for me. Music, whoops, no, that's okay. Everything's all good on my end. It was Google's fault. But costuming, the incredible choreography and dance numbers that you get to do, all rolled into this wonderful, somewhat comical, crazy twist of a story that brings you Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Amazing. We're going to put you on the spot again if you are perhaps prepared for this. Speaking of the story, we would love you to tell us the story in 2 minutes. This is the elevator pitch, the entire plot of Thoroughly Modern Millie. Are you ready? On your marks, get set. Are you actually ready though? Because I won't just make you go.
Yep, I am so ready.
So ready. Okay, here we go. Ready, set, go.
Thoroughly Modern Millie is a musical with music by Janine Tesori, possibly Montessori. Lyrics by Dick Scanlon and a book by Richard Morris. What I didn't realise at first is that it was actually a movie first, and it was the dear old Julie Andrews. I shouldn't say old, the dear young Julie Andrews that played
Dame
Millie. And of course, Millie Dilmont comes to New York to marry for money instead of love.
Good
somewhat
idea.
A little bit Dorothy comes from Kansas type of story, and along the way she meets all these characters that gets her to where she's trying to be, and I think she finds out along the way that she wants to actually not just settle for a man with lots of money, but she wants to have a wonderful emerald love. She wants to have a, what is it, green glass love? That's what Muzzy says, doesn't she say that?
I think so, yeah.
Along those lines. And then, but along with this, the comedy comes when she checks in to her hotel in New York, and it turns out that, you know, the owner is the leader of this whole white slavery ring in China. And then we end up I don't know. I don't even know where it goes at the end, and everyone's popping out of containers and coming back together and getting married. And anyway, how much time do I have? I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
You still have 25 seconds.
Oh gosh, what else do I want to tell you about this show? You want some facts, don't you?
Millie, I don't know. We just need the story. We're going to delve into everything else in a minute. Does Millie get a happy ending?
That's what she said. Yes, absolutely, because she finds Jimmy and she marries Jimmy when she thought she wanted Mr. Trevor Graydon, but no.
So, right. In summary.
Clear as mud.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
In summary.
That was 2014 and I've forgotten what show that I played the lead role in. Ta-da!
So she goes to the big city, the big smoke, to find love, to marry rich, ends up finding the love of her heart, her true love. Along the way, meets a whole bunch of racist characters. Good time.
Right.
And yeah, basically that's correct.
And in amongst all of that, some great tap numbers.
Oh, banging tap
that's
numbers.
That's what we're there
Not
for.
Not just any tap numbers. We've got a bit of discography, if that's what you want to call it. Because
typography?
Like tap dancing with, you know, desk and that wheel on wheels and on top of those desks where people push you around on those desks. It's pretty amazing what you can do with a tap number.
That sounds very complex. Perhaps if we could find a video of discography, we might be able to link it in the show notes so everyone knows what we're talking about. It is pretty impressive. This is a very joyous show. Julie did mention that it's a little touchy on the racism point.
just a tippity tappity racist.
Tippity tappity.
You know?
So it has
racist isn't tapping.
It might.
This character is the woman who owns the boarding house where Millie goes in. She's an Asian woman who runs this Chinese laundry that smuggles girls out and kidnaps them. Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you. You're doing a wonderful job of letting your listeners know exactly what this show is about.
So this character, Mrs. Mears, is a character in the movie played by an Asian actor in the film?
Never seen the film.
Did the show never seen the film?
I mean, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Apparently so.
So that my question mark remains.
Mrs. Mears was played by Beatrice Lilly, who, Canadian-born actress, does not look in any way, shape, or form.
And I'm pretty sure in the movie they didn't use Mandarin or Cantonese either for when the brothers were talking. It was just random
noises.
What I read today.
Oh no.
So.
And when was the film made?
67.
So the 60s are still, like, late 60s is still pretty late to be using that sort of device. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting choice that they maintained it when they created the musical, which came significantly later than the film. Yeah. So this is, in old terms, a fairly recent show. It's one of those shows that was a movie, a classic film for quite some time before it got transferred to the stage, much like 42nd Street, which, of course, was from the 30s and didn't transfer until the 80s. So I just really wonder where that decision came from to keep that character as it was. And in a sense, I think it's a bit of a throwback to the vaudevillian practice of the 20s, which is where the show is set, in that they would create those poorly treated ethnic characters.
You also have to think of 2000 versus 2020. Yeah, like 2000, we were nowhere near as aware or self-aware of racism than we are now.
And we didn't care.
Yeah, it was like,
we do now.
Let's still laugh. Yeah. And now we're like, maybe not.
Well, I'm curious how much you get away with by saying, oh, that's the time period that the show is set in.
Yeah.
Does that cut it?
The guys who wrote it have talked about it and said that it was never their intention for Mrs. Mears to be a racist character. They were trying to go towards the anti-racist route.
But we also need to probably make clear a part in the plot that Mrs. Mears is not actually Asian.
No. And there isn't from, or at least from memory, I've seen the show, there isn't really in her introduction a big, like, I'm just putting this on until much later in the act. Where she's
You don't find out she's putting it on really at all until the end. Yeah. Where it becomes very clear that she's not Asian at all.
So I think, and it kind of comes down to how it's directed and how people want to approach it, of course, but if there's nothing in the text that helps you, that does become a little bit difficult. And in saying that, a lot of high schools in America have done this show because they can, and that has been a big point of contention with, like, shows in New York being cancelled until the script has been like revised, like superintendents shutting shows down because of it. So it's, yeah, I think it's the point of contention with Millie. I know when we're trying to look for musicals to put on, Millie comes up a lot because it's such a fantastic show, but we always say no because of
it's a bit of a fine line.
Yeah, how do you tiptoe around that?
What if she was just not right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What if we just changed a good 30, 40, 50% of the show?
Difficult, because Millie is such a wonderful show, and it launched the career of Julie's favourite son, Foster, and Gavin Creel. Yes.
And Gavin Creel.
Foster was in the ensemble for all of the out-of-town tryouts, and she was put into the role of Millie, like, very late in the game, kind of just as they were transferring to Broadway. So if things had gone differently, we might not have gotten the Sutton Foster we have today, and Gavin Creel, like, both of them.
Easy, right?
Everyone needs.
Yeah. But my fun fact that I read today was that the 99 demo had David Campbell singing Jimmy. Good old that Aussie David Campbell. Who would have thought?
Really?
Yeah.
That's so
cute. I don't even like
Kenneth as Millie. So it's just the vocals. There wasn't any production of it.
Sorry, did you say Kristen Chenoweth?
I love that pairing.
Did you say Kristen Chenoweth?
Kristen Millie. Was Millie and David Campbell was Jimmy on the 99 demo.
That's a very different sound, both to the original Dame Julie Andrews and Sutton Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah, very different. Curious.
Well, look, they made good decisions, is all we can say.
So let's talk briefly about the music, because it is all a very kitschy sort of 1920s feel, which is what makes it so great for tap dancing. But while there are great songs in the film, I really feel like the new songs they wrote for the stage show were even better, and certainly a lot more complex, a little bit more modern in their structure, I guess. Aston, not having seen the film, could you feel the difference in performance between the new material and the old material?
Well, that's what I was about to say. I don't know what pieces were in the original film that, I don't know the pieces that were now put into the stage musical. Are we talking?
Basically, they gave Millie a whole bunch of extra material. I would have to look it up to be certain. I'm about to start.
I'm currently looking. The wiki is letting us down, because the wiki is not telling us like a blow by blow of what songs are actually in the show. I know Thoroughly Modern Millie is in
the film,
the movie and the musical, but that's the only one I'm certain on.
Yeah, so in regards to your question, like the feel between the ones that were originally written earlier, I don't quite know, but maybe there is that feel of the likes of the song where she sings about Jimmy, and it's got more of that sort of ballad, very more classical sort of sound to it. That might be the Dame Julie Andrews stuff. And
I have got the soundtrack.
We go.
It's Thoroughly Modern Millie, The Tapioca, Drink Like Charm or Chim, Jimmy, Looking Through the World Through Rose Colored Glasses, Babyface, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, Do It Again, Jazz Baby, I Can't Believe That You're in Love with Me, Stumbling, Poor Butterfly, Rose of Washington Square, The Japanese Sandman, Jingle Bells. And then
that old classic Jingle Bells.
The Jingle Bells, Hallelujah Chorus with Plenty of Money and You, Lullaby, Where Oh Where Has My Little Dog Gone. I'm assuming a lot of these are in like the background, and Bridal Chorus.
Almost all of those are not songs from the stage show.
Yeah.
So the musical would be Thoroughly Modern Millie, Jimmy, Looking Through Rose Colored Glasses.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Jazz Baby?
Nope.
Jazz Baby is in something, if it's not this. Anyway, we do have to move
on. Carol Channing in this, by the way.
Ooh, Carol Channing did the original. Oh, no, never mind.
She did the
this
movie.
Was her only. This was Carol Channing in this movie is her only Oscar nomination.
Aw, congrats, Carol.
Yeah.
You mean she didn't get one for the Muppet movie?
I was just like, what?
She was great in that. Julie, do you have a bad review, Julie?
I do. I'll give you a little taste of this review. This is written, where is this? Timeout.com. 3 out of 5 stars.
Well, that's not too bad.
And there's a friendly warning at the beginning. Friendly warning, we're working hard to be accurate, but these are unusual times. So please check. This was the Jazz Age musical is back in Melbourne with a starry cast. So this is an Australian production.
Mm.
It's weird and roundabout genesis for a Broadway musical. The nonfiction film starring Julie Andrews premiered in 1967, but it wasn't until 2000 that Richard Morris and Dick Scanlon adapted it into Thoroughly Modern Millie, an all-singing, all-tapping homage to the 30s musical films of Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, and Busby Berkeley. It's actually set in 1922, but nostalgia cares not for historical accuracy. It's okay. A show that means nothing and aims to please, which is probably why it was so successful coming around the time of 9/11 attacks in New York. It might find a willing audience in these times too, as they clamber from the cold to shake off a whiff of doom from their evening coats. It will require a strong stomach for overtly racist tropes and tired sexual stereotypes, though not to mention a penchant for the kind of paint-by-numbers songs that are forgotten before they even reach the resolving chords. It continues in such vicious fashion.
Who was in that production?
Let's see if they name. Central to his Annie Atkins was Millie. Not that the support is bad. Nigel Huckle was Jimmy. Claire Lyon was Miss Dorothy.
I don't think the review says anything.
It just said a starry cast, so I just was wondering what kind of starry cast we were getting.
I mean, there might have been in just starry costumes.
Maybe. The costuming is quite a bit of the appeal to this show, I think.
Definitely.
I kind of get where all of that's coming from, except maybe the stab at the music, because...
That's what I thought. Paint by numbers.
I love the music in this show, and I think it could have been really paint by numbers. It could have been like the boyfriend reworded, but it wasn't. I think it was more than that. I think it was better than that, and I think Sutton Foster and Aston agree with me. And on that note, I'm ready to move on to lessons learned. Who else?
Me!
Yay! What did we learn from Thoroughly Modern Millie? Don't all go at once.
It's an ongoing lesson of how to navigate problematic content that we have mentioned earlier, but it's hard because it is that thing of like when it was written, this was the intention, and now we're in 2020 and everything else is kind of, you can perform everything else in Millie without there being too much of an uproar, except for that, like those three characters, you know, where you're like, it's such a good show and it's not, don't get me wrong, there are much, like Oklahoma can like, no, they're like totally different in terms of what the problematic content is, but it's hard when you love a show so much to then try and, yeah, it's just that navigating. How do you navigate it?
I wish you hadn't learned it,
but you've learned you want to learn it.
And that's the thing, is that ongoing lesson of every time you see a show and you kind of like, if the times are changing and how do you create a show that's called Thoroughly Modern Millie, make it modern for the time that you're in, you know?
Yes.
Like, because even in itself, the times are changing at the time that this is set in the 1920s of that revolution for women, and they were, you know, the flappers were coming out and they were bobbing their hair and they had their skirts and we were looked upon as, that was a bit taboo, but we were like, no, we're gonna come on out and
check out these ankles.
Nice.
I think I learned a fair bit about 20s fashion because I watched the movie when I was quite young and I was like, so I think I got a little bit of my understanding of maybe 20s fashion and that kind of revolution from Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yeah. I think there's something in there about the power of a good haircut.
Or you know, a good wig.
It's more about that to those characters, to those women, and particularly to Millie, it was a symbolic moment of change. And it's not unusual for a woman to think, you know, I really need to change something big about my life. I'm going to go and get all my hair chopped off. Like, that is actually still part of our social fabric, and it's a normal feminine reaction to I need to control something and make a big change. I'm going to go get all my hair cut off. It's something that we genuinely still do.
Yeah, it's within the next 2 or 3 weeks for me, I think.
As a positive, though, I reckon, because you have that decision to make that choice for yourself, and it's kind of, invigorating when you've gone, I've done it too. Oh, you can't see that. I'm just showing you my... when you go from that change of look, the small town girl to the big city star.
It taught
me that you can be a small town girl that makes it in a big city.
I was going to
say, it doesn't have to be that she's made it as that star, or she's found the person with the money, but she still has found the life that she's wanted to and the love that she's wanted to by making that change.
I was going
to
say that maybe she has learned that all good things come in good timing and not necessarily in the way you think it's going to be.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you know something that probably from my personal experience of playing Millie in this particular production was, I was thinking about this earlier, Hugh Jackman in his tour last year had mentioned something about, is that a good thing, Jules?
I'm just making a face because you said Hugh Jackman and he's
like,
Hugh Jackman.
It's a vomit face. No. Oh
no. Let's
put you in the bin.
The audience can't see the face. It's fine.
Yeeted right in that bin.
Oh no. Is that with everybody?
No.
Okay, good. I'll carry on then. So when I fangirled over Hugh and listened to him tell his story about that he, you know, waits there in the wings because he wants to hear that audience coming in and get that the feeling of what the whole
he wants the vibe.
Was in this particular production, I needed to walk out the back of the theatre and into just what felt like the hallway waiting to go home to the car park, and you hear nothing. Like, and it's like, oh my gosh, I need to walk on and start this show and sing, not for the life of me, but you suddenly feel so disconnected to what is happening inside the magic of a theatre space. And I guess it really taught me that value of being so present in that room. And of course, you do have to walk up to the door and then you hear the orchestra start and you get on in and then it's bells and whistles. But yeah, I don't know. When I got thinking about what it taught me, it was about, valuing that time in that space.
That's a lovely lesson. I really enjoyed that lesson.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else before we hit the road on this segment?
Oh.
No? Well, no,
however, if you want another link, I did find on Pinterest, there's a whole thing, Musicals Taught Me, and then it's got a whole like list of ones from Thoroughly Modern Millie. I was having a good old laugh reading through some of them. Did you want me to share any?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
They're a bit more comical. So it's like, you know, this one was funny. Hudson's floor wax doesn't matter. That's the big Hudson's floor wax doesn't matter. Blah, blah, blah. You can get by on green glass, but you can find an emerald. The whole things that musicals taught me. You can take the girl out of the small town, but you can't take the small town out of the girl. That's the same one. Oh, no, this one's a good one. You'll like this one. Soya sauce does not remove spots. You know the whole scene where Mrs.
Yes.
That's how Miss Dorothy is told to get the stain out of her dress.
No.
With soy sauce.
That's not going to work. So some valuable, important lessons there from Millie. We're going to dreamcast this in just a few moments. So who's going to step into the shoes of Sutton Foster and Julie Andrews in the
boy.
Role?
There's some big shoes to fill.
Of Millie.
I'm going to put an Australian out there.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Stephanie Jones in the role of Millie. She played Rhonda in Muriel's Wedding and Liesl in The Sound of Music here in the Australian tour. She is very talented, extraordinarily talented, and I think she would be a fantastic Millie.
I love that. She was amazing as Rhonda.
Amazing. Speaking of Rhondas, I would have loved to have seen young Rhonda Birchmore in this role.
Yeah.
Being a tapper of no great renown, as she says herself. But, you know, I think she's a wonderful personality to sort of pick up on the joyful naivety of Millie.
I could also kind of see Rhonda Birchmore as Millie's, maybe she's got a bit too much sass, but I was going to say as Miss Dorothy. I think she has far too much sass.
Yeah. She'd also make a great Mrs. Mears if we're into that.
I put Donna Murphy down as Mrs. Mears. She plays Mother Gothel in Tangled, is probably where you hear her voice most recently. Again, she's not Asian, but she's not meant to be. It's very confusing.
It is confusing.
I think
so. Where do we stand on casting the Mrs. Mears? What did she call them? Ho Ching and I forget their names.
Something racist.
Pardon? Yeah, right. But I was like, is that because obviously it's been cast with two Australians in the production that I did.
Yeah.
So, what do we do in that situation?
I think now it's probably in the same boat that everything else is in, where it's part of the right now to cast people of that heritage in the roles.
Absolutely.
They're supposed to be. You know, we've seen many a King and I with very little colour in it. So we'll see.
Look, I've said it once. I've said it twice. I've said it 1,000 times. I've played Asian twice.
It doesn't make it right, Julie. It doesn't make it right.
I'm not saying it is right. I'm saying that's why it's wrong.
Yeah, and I think it is hard when it is a community theatre, amateur theatre, or school production of it, because it also that limits. And I know that there's alternatives in this script. So if you can't find actors of Asian heritage to play those roles, then the script, there are alternative script for the actor. Mm. So I don't.
Soon to be an alternative script.
Yes. Yeah. I put Jonathan Groff as Jimmy.
Love it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, nice. I think he'd be real nice.
I would have liked to have kissed him on the window ledge out of my
office. We'll arrange it.
Thank you so much.
We could also, we haven't done it in a while, but let's just chuck Zach in as
well,
Jimmy.
Well, that was the other alter. You know, he's like the understudy for Jonathan.
Look, works for me. Can I just point out that Tom Holland is a dancer and let you do what you will with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also could be Jimmy.
I just think he'd be super cute.
He'd be adorable.
Yeah. I don't know who you would match him with, though. Who would be
Zendaya.
His Millie?
As Millie wouldn't be bad. I'm just saying.
We'll find someone adorable and young. Very young.
I think one of the things that made Sutton a really good pick for the show originally was that she came from nowhere, and I think that's a really good quality for a Millie to have. And we often talk about this in the sense of these sorts of shows like 42nd Street and things, characters that are meant to be unknowns that arrive somewhere in some circumstance and find themselves or become something bigger. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity to give an unknown actor who can mirror that experience for the audience in that it is someone they don't recognize who just blends in, who then becomes something more. So, you know, we'll get someone like that.
Great.
You know, well, I was thinking when you talked about who we would cast, I just was thinking in sort of our local network. I wasn't realizing we were pulling out, you know, famous people's names. And then someone that came to mind who has been working professionally in musical theatre but not taken on the lead role is Rachel Ward. Jules doing that. Was that who you think?
She's She's just about to be in the producers.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I've seen her in a few other shows. And I just feel like she's got that Millie quality.
Well, that's wonderful news.
An up-and-coming one to watch.
We will call her and tell her.
Can I pair Paige McKay with her as her Dorothy?
Paige McKay.
McKay, sorry. Yeah, she won't listen. I'll be fine.
What do you mean? She listens to this podcast every single episode, I'm sure.
This is how we're going to find out.
I tell her every day that she has to listen to the episode. She'd be a beautiful Dorothy.
Friend of the show, Paige. Yeah. You can go back to our Little Women episode to hear more from her. Any others before I call it quits on this and we move on to our top fives, ladies and gentlemen?
None from me.
And none from you. Producer Zane is doing something on his phone. And now he's
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The button. Hello, it is top five time. What top fives are we doing this week?
I'm going to put Gimme Gimme in the top five audition songs.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely in the top five audition songs I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the list that we're putting on top five for the panel.
Not for the Life of Me is pretty up there. Yeah.
So Not for the Life of Me is also short. Like, I think that's why it gets done.
Well, yeah. They're not bad choices. They're good choices, so we hear them a lot. That's all I'm saying. Anywho, what else?
Yeah, because on that note, somebody I know really, really well auditioned with Not For The Life Of Me for for the producers. That was my audition callback song. There you go.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So, yeah, overdone, but done well.
Look, you when know it's you a banger, it's a banger.
It's true.
I'm going to put this role as top five roles for Sutton Foster, as that Sutton Foster has done. Top five Sutton Foster roles. There we go. Yes. That's more succinct.
I heartily agree. Yeah. Top five 1920s shows? Question mark? Anyone challenging on that point?
I'm not going to challenge you.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to say top five slightly different tap choreo numbers.
Interesting uses of furniture in dance.
Discography.
Top five discography. That's an interesting list to try and fill out.
Sure, that's almost How to Succeed has a number of
less desk. Could have more desk.
It could
have more desk.
Depends on the production. That's a challenge I'm putting out to choreographers everywhere. More desks.
I think for like a musical written in the 2000s, top five like truly triple threat roles in a more contemporary setting, because we don't always get that these days.
True. I think that's testament, or in part anyway, to the style of the show and where it's set and how it was. Yeah. So it's a modern show only by when it was written, not by style. Yeah. Any others? There must be more. I think there's somewhere.
Top five of costuming for its era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very era specific.
I mean, that red dress is pretty iconic for Millie.
Yeah.
You know who you're looking at if you see that poster.
Matched with the black wig or, you know, haircut.
Yeah.
That's what you're rocking at the moment.
Anything else?
Do you have any other top fives,
no? Oh, short and sweet this week for Thoroughly Modern Millie, just like her skirts. And that wraps us up for talking about Millie with Aston. Julie's loving my segue there. Aston, are you doing anything at the moment? You rocking and rolling in the...
I'm rocking and rolling in my lounge room.
Just in the lounge room, not in the theatre space at the moment?
In regards to theatre space, I had my first gig back last night.
Yay!
Hooray! To a live audience. A COVID-safe audience, mind you, that couldn't dance. They couldn't sing, and we had like as if we were at a festival, the big silver barricades around the stage where the security guards could, there were no security guards, but
were you like, wait, was this an ABBA gig?
Yes, it was.
Please don't
Or, you know, the rehearsed in, you know, dialogue that you do. Here's one you can all get up and dance to, and you're like, oh, no, you cannot. You need to sit back down and clap along.
Oh, whoopsie. So where can we catch you in ABBA?
In coming weeks. Well, there are. The gigs are now finally opening up again. Star Casino, convention center at the Gold Coast. However, sorry, that's a corporate one.
So who are we looking for? If we're gonna stalk you in terms of this gig, are we looking for
the plug? I understand.
Yes.
Now we are called Abalive.
Abalive.
Yeah. So if you want to find us, you should go to www.abalive.com.
Very nice.
Love it.
There you go. We'll put the link in the show notes, as of course, as we always do. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on, Aston. It was lovely to see you via Zoom, talk to you, and share this show with our audience. Have you had a good time?
I sure have.
Do you remember your homework from the first segment?
Oh, the leaders.
Your homework from the first segment. Do you remember that? You thought I'd forgotten.
Well, you guys were hinting with Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't want to erase it because there's a couple of songs I love, but I'll just say Aspects of Love.
I'm having a giggle because it is the last thing that I saw you in at uni all those years ago. And you were great, by the way. but yes, I have seen that show 5 or 6 times, and it was 5 or 6 times too many. I think. Yeah. Great show.
I do love that duet.
Recommend it to everyone.
Leaving, though.
Yeah. The usual couple of good songs. So we're going to leave it there, I guess. But if you miss us already and you want to find us and maybe listen to some other episodes about some other great shows, you can find us in all the usual places. Facebook, where Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. On Twitter and Insta, we're at Musicals Teach Me. You can email us if you have a whole rant to share about anything, or if you just want to say hey. Or send us your list of, what was it, two-hander musicals, musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, you'll find us at our home on the web, That's Not Canon Productions, where you can also find a whole bunch of other great podcasts. And there are some more musicals shows joining the network, so watch out for that. Thank you very much, Aston, Julie, KB. This is the Playout Music. Thanks, Zane. I'm Miranda. Have a great time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to an advertisement for the Penny Peep Show. What is the Penny Peep Show? Well, in our podcast factory, our podcast scientists have been working hard on a range of light-hearted radio play anthology series that everyone can enjoy.
Criminy Cricket, spokesperson! Is there a light-hearted radio play anthology series for me?
No, every series is marked explicit. But why not tell your parents, nameless child? They'll find the Penny Peep Show wherever good podcasts are stocked. The Penny Peep Show. It's like dissolving your ears in a cocaine-laden off-brand soda.
Is that a good thing?
Shut up, nameless child.